This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you. This is the all-new evening edition, and now it's everybody's favorite subject, money.
Get back.
It's a really cool hook, isn't it?
In particular, Brim, or rather cash handouts. There's been a paper that's out, Caroline.
Yeah, so it's a policy paper titled Intervention and Non-Intervention, Policy Ideas for a Social Market Economy in Malaysia. Very sexy name, might I add.
All these academic papers have the sexiest names. Very clickbaity.
Written by three academics. Essentially, the overriding message is that Malaysia needs to review our expensive welfare system and the federal government's unsustainable Brim cash handout scheme. And I guess, you know, it continues to work through that.
Yes. So during the launch of the paper, it was written by Professor Edmund Terence Gomez, the Institute of Leadership and Development Studies, Noor Amin Ahmad, and Help University's Professor Jeffrey Williams. They said that cash transfers are clearly insufficient, but to many recipients and people who support this system, it is seen as better than nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they say that Brim, they pointed out rather, that Brim was designed as a one-off program. We know that it's become a permanent scheme. And that's not a practice that we're not unfamiliar with, right? Historically, removing the training wheels has been problematic for us. So Brim initially, gave about 2 billion ringgit worth of aid, 500 ringgit, to 4.2 million low-income households earning below 3,000 ringgit. The categories instead were later expanded. So now the total number of recipients hover between 6 and over 7 million, with total allocations in some years having gone up to 6 billion ringgit.
Yes, and of course, you know, as the cost of living increases, you know, every time they review Brim, it requires people to just keep, it requires the government to keep reviewing the amount as well, because 500 ringgit is no longer enough.
Yep, indeed. And I think the thing to remember, which they do point out, the success of any welfare scheme should be measured by the real reduction in the number of eligible recipients and the total cost, not from the increased number of recipients and the amount of disbursement. They've clearly stated their views, right? Malaysia's welfare system, they say, is based on ad hoc schemes over the years that are all funded differently with no apparent systemic thinking on structure, coverage, funding, or impact.
And I guess what is that symptomatic, obviously, of us actually not addressing or not doing enough to address the root problem, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I guess it would appear that this is the thing, right? Because based on how it's usually announced, that's what we think as well. So it feels like it lacks that big picture perspective when they come and say, so this year we're going to give out X amount.
1,200 bucks.
1,200. And that's really it in a nutshell, right? So it's not a surprising perspective, you know, as a regular citizen just following the news, these announcements tend not to come with an explainer or long-term objectives, and we're kind of used to that. It's an accurate reflection of a lot of views on social media as well whenever these announcements are made.
And of course, you know, the economics aside, there's also a political and electoral game at play as well, because when you start giving these handouts and you start increasing them year on year, every time an election year comes around, you know, the economics of it aside, it becomes very, very difficult to suddenly take these things away.
Yeah, I know, it's very, very true. And, you know, with the election around the corner, many of us are thinking policy, right? And whether the current ones actually feed and nourish us as a nation, you know, asking all these questions of the policies that we have in place, you know, where is this going? Why, you know, why is this the best way? What are we going to gain? What are we going to lose?
Well, we have on the line Wan Yah Shin. She's a social policy researcher with IDEAS, or the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs. Thanks for joining us on the evening edition, Yah Shin. Could you tell us some of the problems that Brim has at the moment?
Okay. First thing, the problem of Brim is that it's a one-off thing. It's a cash handout. There is also no such thing as to create support after that for the people to exit from poverty in that sense. So that's one of the biggest problems, which it creates dependency, because it doesn't help the people to improve their skills or to have a long-term and sustainable solution to that. And the second thing is the constraint of that limited amount of money. How much can that money help in tackling the cost of rise of cost of living? If we look at BRIM, it's just a few hundred ringgit. It's not going to do a lot in terms of tackling poverty per se. It's just more to help for short term. So in the long term, it's not going to do much in tackling the issue of poverty.
Right. And I guess another issue is the fact that we just have so many of these short-term programs, well, short-term become long-term, right, sort of thing, short-term programs and initiatives that are very similar to BRIM. Do you think that's a problem?
So the thing is, there is no coordination and monitoring of all these different cash aids. So on top of BRIM, there's also others. So whether you get access to them or not, it depends on whether you know about this program. So when there's so many ministries and agencies that are doing different programs, it's hard for the people to know where to access all this when they need that money. So that's one part of the problem of cash aid. There needs to be more coordination within the agency and something more like an umbrella that's overlooking all the programs that is in the country. And also to reduce duplication, because while a certain recipient of one particular program might be a recipient of another, just to reduce duplication and to ensure that people who really need it get the money.
So what's your take on BRIM? Is it a good policy?
I would say that it is a good policy to tackle short-term insufficiency for the people, but we have to look at more long-term policies. When we talk about BRIM, mostly it's because we want to tackle the rise of cost of living. So why are the people not having enough? So we come back to more inherent questions of wages. So is the wages increasing according to the productivity of the nation? So that is more relevant than just giving a cash handout every time it's not enough for the people to survive. So looking at the wages will be something more substantial and more long-term. Make sure that the wages is substantial, you know. That will be a better policy. And the second thing is that, what are the schemes to help the people to improve their skills? For example, to promote entrepreneurship, or improve their skills to have better income. Yeah, I think that is more sustainable policies.
Right. And if I could just go back to wages, any thoughts on why wages aren't rising to match the cost of living?
I think one of the most important things is there's a lack of labor union within the country. There's a decreasing number of labor unions within the country. So when there's no voice for the workers, wages will tend to rise slower than it should be. So usually in nation, productivity and wages go hand in hand. But for Malaysia, it's not really the case.
Yashin, thank you so much for your analysis. That was Wan Yashin, social policy researcher over at IDEAS. We've got more music coming your way now. Yellow Dash by Guida on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.